by Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
And hello, everyone out there in the DC universe. Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham, episode 148. We are getting closer to the Eric Colesman 150 Supersized Show Spectacular Extravaganza. I'm very excited, as you can tell. We are a fandom pop culture podcast and a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network, hosted by BatmanOnFilm.com. If you want to check out all the other great shows associated with this network, head on over to BOF, clicking the podcast dropdown, and just taking a gander or whatever it has to offer. I am your co-host from the other side of the Hudson River. I am Peter Arvar, and today we're recording on March 24th, 2024, in the heart of March Madness. And as always, we have a great show for you today. Before I get into good stuff, I want to remind you all to rate and review this podcast on Apple, iTunes, and if we read your review on air, you just won our monthly prize pack, so please be in it to win it. Now, let me introduce my partner in crime, the man who took down and captured the Jones Island crocodile in June of 1974, the champion of Long Island, the greatest man who's ever lived, Captain Goatee, the Holzeman, Eric Holzman.
Hello, Pete.
Oh, he's bringing the energy today, folks. This is going to be a good one. Get ready. Get your seatbelts on, straddle in, run for a ride.
Oh, 1974, huh? That must have been on, that was in another timeline for me.
The multiverse of Holzman? The Holzman, yes. Multiverse? The Holzyverse! Ooh, the Holzyverse! An entire universe of Holzmans.
Jesus, nobody wants that. Trust me. This universe...
It would mostly be women, though. Like, this universe, the women dominate your family.
Well, this universe already has enough of us, so we don't need a multiverse.
A Holzyverse of madness.
But Jesus, man, that would be nuts. And I don't wish that on anyone, to be honest. I do not wish that on anybody. Oh, man.
Now he's thinking. Now he's like, I think I woke Eric up here. He thought he'd have 48 sisters for a second there.
No, seven is enough. Trust me. Having seven in this world is enough. I know the show was eight is enough, but seven is enough for me. Oh, man. That's so, yeah. It is March 24th. Man, this year's going fast.
We gotta get the act together for 150.
Yes, people have actually asked me. A couple people have asked me what the plan is for 150.
Kowalski's asked me, and I was like, "Yeah, we gotta do something." I was like, "I gotta talk to the boss."
So we have to. Yeah, we're gonna think of some, we'll get something down. The thing is, it's gonna have to be. I'm traveling to England on April 2nd. And I won't be back until the following week. So that weekend.
A little ironic, all the crazy things going on with the royal family, yet Eric's going over there.
Well, dude, that was sad news. That was sad news.
Meghan Markle's been causing trouble for years. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, Princess Kate had, she revealed she had cancer. And everyone was like, where is she? Where is she? And like, well, she actually has a real thing. I would hate, that must be so rough. Yeah, that's got to be so rough, but.
I mean, yeah. You're used to it by now. You've adjusted.
I have no.
The Post, paparazzi. The Daily News are always following you around. The New York Times.
No way. I don't. Please. I wish I was that important.
The Atlantis Inquirer.
So, but yeah, that was sad news. I just don't. I feel. I don't know. It's just England, I guess. They're very. Obviously, the Royals are big. Are a big deal there. So they're paparazzi.
For the Kansas City Royals.
Not those Royals, which aren't
those
a big
are the
deal
Royals
anywhere.
I care about.
They're not even a big deal here right now. So
I was a little confused.
No, it is the British Royals, of course. So, but yeah, that was some sad news. Sad news to hear. Hopefully she's all right though. Hopefully she they found it early and, you know, she's good. But
And that is your international news update with Eric Holzman.
Yes, that is the international. There's more we could get into, but yeah.
That was Tom McClellan.
As I was saying, I'm going to be in England. So 150 won't be until after that. It'll be the following show. But actually, we might have to do next week is Easter. So I don't know with our schedules how that's going to work out. Recording next week. So we'll talk about it. But yeah, we have to kind of finalize what we're going to do for 150. So if people are asking us, maybe we'll have some of you pop on and we'll do individual segments with each person. Mm-hmm. That might be something fun to do, or I don't know. These are just things I've been kicking around in my head.
Okay. So we're spitballing here.
Yep, we are. We will have something soon. We'll decide on something this week, and then we will reach out to people see if you're interested in coming on. Some of our friends of past guests and fans of the show. It'd be fun to have some of you guys on who we've gotten to know through the years, mm-hmm. and elaborate on the show, on what Straight Outta Gotham was and how it came to be in the early days.
The early days.
Yeah.
The COVID days.
Yeah. It's a little bit crazy. So, but we do have some news to get into. Let's start with all the trailers because, you know what? Let me start with my weekend or my.
Oh, yes. The Eric Strikes Back.
Yes. The Star Wars experience I had. So I had no idea this was going on, but apparently Star Wars, Disney, Lucasfilm, teamed up with or reached out to the Empire State Building to do what they're calling the Imperial March to May the 4th. Obviously, May the 4th has become Star Wars Day. So they teamed up with the Empire State Building and did this whole promotional campaign. Hayden Christensen was there to launch it on Thursday. And then I was just sitting around. I was getting details. And then I saw that they had this movie night. On Friday night, you could watch The Empire Strikes Back on the 80th floor. And then afterwards, you can go up to the observation deck and then the new 102nd floor observatory, which I had never done. I'd done the observation deck. I used to work in the Empire State Building. My first job out of college, the office was on the 51st floor. So I have a long history with the building. I like the building. To me, it's the most iconic skyscraper in the world. Obviously, famously, King Kong in the early was, the King Kong movie, the 30s one. It's always fascinated me that this thing was built in 1930. It's, the technology and everything that went into making it at that time is still mind boggling. But yeah, I saw this whole promotion. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I bought the tickets to go and they had
How big was the theater?
It's not a theater. They basically just took the floor, one parts of the 80th floor, which is empty now because there's no tenants in it. And they just made a little theater there.
Oh, cool.
Yep. And it was sponsored by, they gave you snacks. Dylan's Candy Bar was the sponsor for it. Sure. And yeah, so they had, candy and popcorn and soda. That was part of the deal. And then, like I said, the other part was you got the movie and you got the 86th floor observatory and then up to the 102nd floor. But on Thursday night, they actually did a laser light show on the side of the Empire State Building with all the Star Wars through the different movies. And it was very cool. It was cool to see. I didn't go to see that, but I did watch it on Twitter and I got to see that part of it. They also had another experience on the main floor of the Empire State Building where it was mostly for kids, this one, but they had a bunch of paraphernalia and collectibles in there from Star Wars. And then they had someone playing Darth Vader and the kids were going, you could have a lightsaber duel with him and stuff like that. It was very, very, very cool. I didn't know about that until I got there on Friday. Someone was explaining it to me. So it was very cool to see that. I saw a couple kids coming in and going out and they seemed like they really enjoyed it, had a good time. So it was just a really fun thing. And like I said, I've seen that movie so many times. It was just crazy to see it in that building. You know, there's obviously the connection with the name. And the other part about what they were doing is they're launching a whole new line of course, right? There has to be some tie-in. They're launching a whole new line of products and they're launching a the blue milk, which you shared on Twitter, that's going to be sold. So it was very, very
cool. Did they have blue milk for trial? Like, were you able to?
No, they didn't have it. They didn't have it. Something. It would have, yeah, it would have been cool if
I wonder if it's just milk with food coloring. I'm very curious. Or if it's like a blueberry thing, or does it have a flavor, or just
that? I don't know. I know they sell it at Galaxy's Edge. In
it's got to be some kind of sugary thing.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure
How many people do you think you saw this movie with last night?
They limited the seating, so I want to say it was probably around 30 to 40 people.
Oh, that's a small crowd. That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of people.
How much was the ticket?
It was $130.
That's not so bad.
No. So again, it was the movie plus you got to do the observation deck stuff. So that was probably the more money.
Location, location. That's what it was.
Yeah. But yeah, they had a Funko. I took a picture of it and I posted it on my Twitter account. They had a Funko Pop on the 86th floor of Darth Vader. You could stand and take pictures if you want. But I'd never been to the 102nd Observatory. And it's weird. When you're taking the elevator, you're basically going through where the lights on the spire are. So it was cool to see because you see the lights as you're going up.
Nice.
And I had also never been in the Empire State
Building. I've never been that high up myself in that building.
Yeah. It's definitely something every New Yorker should do, I think, if you've never been there. But the Star Wars tie-in was just awesome. And I took some other pictures and posted them on Twitter of the toys that they had in the lobby. I took pictures of the displays that they had, some of the things. They had this really cool jacket, an Admiral Thrawn jacket, which was pretty cool. I took a picture of that. And then even in the gift shop, when you left, they had some Star Wars based stuff, but they didn't, none of them were like Empire State Building related. If they had something like that, I probably would have bought it. They did like an Empire State Building shirt or something, but they didn't. So it was only this past weekend. So it's not something you guys can go do if you live in the area. It was just for,
the New York elite. And that's why Holzman was there.
I wish it was for the New York elite and Holzman didn't have to pay for it, but I did anyway.
I'm sure your endorsements will cover it.
So it was,
that's great. You know, the Empire State Building is actually worth your time following on Twitter. They do a lot of cool things with their lights and stuff. So, you know, I would check it out. Every once in a while, they do something really weird and interesting and it catches national attention. But that sounds like it was a lot of fun. That's really cool that you were able to do that. In that building. That's, I never would have thought of that. Like, and I think it's cool. For some reason, I thought there was a theater, as we like to say around these parts, a theater in the building. I think it's cool that they made one. Like, was it did they have a way to make it stadium seating, or were you just in like a folding chair on a floor?
Yeah, it was just a row of folding chairs. Okay. They didn't do anything. I was thinking while I'm sitting there,
I'm like the tallest person in the room.
Well, luckily for me, the person in front of me wasn't tall, so I could see the movie itself. And then luckily I've seen this movie so many times, it wasn't a big problem that I had to actually know what was going on. But there was this one girl there who she must have been some kind of social media influencer because she was taking pictures, lining up the bags of the candy and all this other crap. And it was kind of annoying. I was kind of like saying things every once in a while. And I know they heard me, but they didn't turn around and say anything.
You know, I can't take my pictures if she's in here taking up all the space. Jeez.
No, because there were times they were actually like videoing the movie. I said, I'll buy you guys a copy if you'll put your phones down. Like, I really don't need you to, to take it. So the people, I was two rows behind them. So the people in front of me, every time I said something, they just started laughing. And then after the movie, they came up to me and they were like, they were so annoying. They're like, but your comments got me through it. And that's why I didn't say anything, because they were just like,
he's a man of the people, Holzman.
So I'm glad my sarcasm made people laugh and maybe diffused a situation that could have happened.
That's Eric Holzman, the diffuser.
But yeah, so again, if they ever do anything like this again, whether it's Star Wars, I remember a few years ago with Batman Day, they actually projected the bat signal. Remember that? So I mean, they do stuff like this every once in a while. So if you guys ever hear about it, just check it out.
Would you do this for Attack of the Clones?
I would do it for any Star Wars movie. Even though I don't like Attack of the Clones, I would have done it just to go and be a part of something like that. Like I said, I like the building to begin with. And I hadn't been there since I worked there, and I left that company in 2000, so it's 24 years ago that I hadn't been.
At any point, did you take the stairs?
No.
I'm just curious.
No,
like at some point, like I wonder how many flights I could get before I really get exhausted.
Well, that's not true. I did walk up to the second level from the first floor.
Okay.
So yes, I did take stairs there. They do have an elevator for that too, though, which I was like, but obviously some people can't walk. But I was even saying, I'm like, it's just up the steps. But yeah, I mean, definitely a cool experience. The Empire State Building on its own is a cool experience, but this adding this layer to it was just a lot of fun. So, all right.
And then you just went out around Manhattan cruising like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, right? Just parking your car in random places, getting it in.
Peter Parker in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, you know, just dancing. Like, and then, just, like, ooh, is that Eric Holzman? Did Eric Holzman just come out of the Empire State Building?
I so wish my legend was as great as you said. Say it is.
I think that's Eric Holzman from Straight Outta Gotham.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's the Holzman.
I should have worn my SOG shirt. I did it. I should have worn. I would have been able to see.
Really? Excuse me, sir. By any chance, are you Eric Holzman?
What if they said, are you Peter?
You're like, no, I'm Eric Holzman, damn it.
So, yeah. So it was, again, it was a fun time.
Great.
Definitely, definitely you guys should do something like that. If they have anything Batman related or something else that you like at that building, definitely go check it out.
I would love to.
So we have gotten, this week, we've gotten a lot of trailers. It's been kind of a trailerful week.
Trailerful.
So let's start with the one that I know you're anticipating most is the Penguin trailer. It was a teaser.
Yeah.
And I love how they did it, man. It was great how they basically had him just, there's like a monologue he must give in the show and he's speaking through it. Mm-hmm. And then they're showing clips of the show in the background. Mm-hmm. And it ends with him, you know, finishing the monologue. And man, if you're going to tease something, that's the way to do it. I thought it was fantastic. What'd you think?
I think this is really going to wash away Gotham and Robin Lord Taylor away from the memories of everybody. And I'm very thankful for that.
Oh.
And I couldn't be happier for it. I think this thing is absolutely incredible. From the get-go, from the whole story, like you said about Rex Calabrese, to the face-off with Maroni, to just him just shooting everything and anything. At one point, it looks like Oswald's getting abducted. I wonder what the hell's going on there. I love how his makeup holds up, especially in that scene. It seems like he's getting a little rough and tough. And, you know, that nasty little face stays ugly, and that's beautiful. And I'm a big fan. He's smoking a cigar. He's just murking people. This is really going to be really cool, man. I'm dying to see this thing. I'm so excited for this. This is my focus. It's either this or, you know, Joker, whatever comes out first. It might actually be Joker, but I'm so focused on Penguin.
Yeah, and very, very smart marketing-wise to do this right after they announced pushing back the Batman. Like, I think it was very, very... I don't know if they had that planned or if that was strategic, but to say, yeah, we're pushing back the movie, but here's a clip for the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very, very smart.
I mean, the Penguins was always the bridge for me, so, like, I never really had a problem with it. Like, I know the delay sucks, but, like, I'm like, whatever. Colin Farrell's going to go down as, like, one of the greatest. He really is, at least in terms of this genre.
I hope he gets an Emmy nom, because it looks like this is going to be a really, really good show. So if it is, I hope he gets an Emmy nomination for the portrayal. I thought he should have gotten an Oscar nom for the portrayal. I was anticipating it before and I'm anticipating it even more now.
I'm wondering if anyone pops up. I'm wondering if any other side characters or other DC characters Batman characters pop up in this. There's nobody too crazy. It could be something subtle. It doesn't have to be a villain or somebody. It could be a police officer, you know. Whether it is Merkel or I don't know, it could be Bullock or, you know, something like that. It doesn't have to be huge. Like, I'm not saying like, or, you know, I don't know, maybe, or even like a, you know, I'm trying to think like one of the, maybe a Daggett, if you're thinking of like, kind of corrupt business people going back to the animated series and Rises. What if he popped up? I'm not necessarily thinking villains. I know some people thought villains would pop up. I don't know if we're going to get that. I do expect to see Jeffrey Wright at some point.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the showdown between Penguin and Clancy Brown as Maroni. I think that'll be interesting because I thought Clancy Brown was an interesting choice for he would not have been my first pick for that role. So I'm very interested to see what he brings to the table, being the legend that he is of many, many roles. So, yeah, I don't know how you can be just not excited for this after that trailer. You know, it's just gangster television. I love gangster.
Yeah,
shows,
it's, you know? Yeah. A lot of people were making the Tony Soprano correlation, right? And I see that. Like, that's definitely something that's there. So, yeah. Can't wait for it now. I was going to watch anyway, but now I'm just even more excited. Can't wait to see this thing finally come to the screen and so we can actually take in the show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Beetlejuice. That little teaser trailer as well. Nostalgic, obviously, Winona Ryder's in it. You could see Jenna Ortega. Definitely setting up the world and the universe, and then of course it ends with Michael Keaton, in the role in Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely looks like they stuck more with the practical vibe, which is kind of what Keaton hinted towards.
Mm-hmm.
The practical effects, not so much CGI and everything. So I was gonna see it anyway, but I'm definitely more intrigued now than I was before. I was kind of skeptical that this was gonna work, but I think it might now. So
yeah, I was excited for this a long time ago, but once the juice is loose, like that's all I needed to hear.
And yeah,
it's weird how it's not that much different from Keaton's voice, but it is. There's just like, I don't know, like a kind of a gravelly.
Yeah,
I don't know what he does, but it's different enough to where I'm like, still got it, you know. Ortega's great. Seeing Winona's great. Seeing
Catherine O'Hara. Paris,
is Otho in this at all? Like, that's my only, is he alive? Is that guy still around? I know the original Mr. Rooney is a sex offender, so I know he's not really casting a lot of roles lately.
Yeah, he won't be in this.
But I believe actually he's dead. That I believe that's the he's supposed to be dead. That's the funeral they're at the beginning. I'm excited to see this. A while ago, when we talked about on the show, people are doing, we were talking about like reboots or original stuff. And I was like, I'm totally down for like the 20 year later sequel, you know, whether it's Ghostbusters, Afterlife or, Afterlife, right? Answer the call. No, I got him confused for a second. Afterlife or this, like, I was like, this is kind of a cool. So, and obviously I was down for Keaton as back as the Flash, like, it's like it's just kind of like a pseudo legacy sequel after 30 years, whatever we will call it. But that's kind of a cool idea to me, like revisiting these things. Blade Runner is another example, like stuff like that. Like I kind of get into that.
It's hit or miss. And I felt like there's been a lot of it lately, so it might be getting overkill. But like you said, if it's good, it doesn't matter, right? If the product is, the final product is good, it doesn't matter. Even that Bad it's nostalgic. Boys 3,
I'll throw that in the ring too.
So. Yeah, but they finished filming the fourth one. I know that's not something that we were talking about, but it felt like they took them a month to film in the whole Bad Boys 4. So we'll see. But this movie looks really, really, really good, and I'm gonna go see it. So it doesn't matter.
I'm excited to see what Tim Burton has up his sleeve. It's been a long time since he was kind of, I feel like, really kooky and crazy. And Beetlejuice really lets him let loose. So,
Did you watch Wednesday?
No, I did not watch Wednesday. I didn't get a chance to. Not because I didn't want to. I just couldn't fit it in the schedule.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. But everyone, it got really good reviews. And people.
He didn't direct every episode,
so,
did he?
I don't think.
I know
so.
He did some. Okay,
but it's his. Yeah. I mean, it's his aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It's his world in that one. So. But yeah,
I'm excited to see Sandworms, man. That Dune stuff doesn't excite me. This Beetlejuice Sandworms excite me. Sorry. I'm just being honest.
That's fine. That's fine. And you bring up Sandworms, which is kind of a slanted segue into Alien Romulus, We got a teaser trailer for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we did, baby.
I can honestly say I had no interest in this movie, but now I'm intrigued.
I'm always interested in alien movies till the trailers, at least. Like, what was the last one? Was it Alien Covenant? That's the sequel to Prometheus. Was that the last one, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, Covenant was the last one.
I did not like that movie. I really enjoy Prometheus. I really do. So I was all down with the Prometheus stuff. And then Ridley got freaked out, or I guess Fox got freaked out at the time, right? That's who was making it. 20th Century Now, Disney. But so, like, they tweaked the Prometheus sequel into Alien Covenant, and I did not enjoy that. I did not enjoy that movie.
I didn't either.
I'm excited to see where this goes. I like Fede Alvarez. I love Don't Breathe 1. I think that's an instant classic. I'm interested to see. Like, I was scared. There was tension. Like, it seems like, I was like, this looks like the, what's it called? The Nostromo or whatever it's called.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I'm down for this. I want to see this. And like I said, man, Fetty, he doesn't really miss that much. He's a really good, scary director. I think this is really up his alley. And yeah, it seems like Ridley and Cameron both were like, hey, this is good.
Yeah, they apparently saw it and they gave their stamp of approval. And yeah, he was the perfect choice for this, especially to bring back the horror elements to Alien and Aliens. The first two, they're science fiction.
Aliens, I feel, is more of an action film than a horror film.
Yeah, but they have that element, right? There's a horror element to all of the Alien stuff, in my opinion. So to bring someone who does that back in as the director, very smart choice. Like you said, this trailer has tension in it. It's just a teaser, and they just give you a little bit. But it definitely caught my eye and changed my mind. I probably wasn't going to go see this, and now I want to see it. So there was another trailer. It wasn't on the list, and I'm sure you saw it. I don't think we talked about it last week, and if we did, you could tell me to shut up. Did we talk about Furiosa
shut
last
up.
Week?
We no, didn't. I don't remember. I don't remember, but you can talk about
it. Yeah, I don't. Did we talk about? I'm getting old if I can't remember this. But yeah, I mean, that trailer too was fantastic. So
I'm excited for it. I want to see it, but I am already missing Charlize Theron. Like, she was a big part of that role, and she's a big part of Fury Road. And I kind of fell in love again with Mad Max after Fury Road. Like, you know, I own the movies and I rewatched them. I was like, man, Road Warriors, crazy. You know, like, so, like, yeah. Fury Road was a, and then obviously Thunderdome, which I grew up with and love it. Two man enter, one man leave. Like, I could say that all day. So, you know, Mad Max is, to fall in love with it again was actually been a lot of fun. And the video game is actually really worth your time if you ever want to play it. It came out for Xbox One. I think it's pretty cheap now. So it was, you know, it's around that era. So I still play it. It's a lot of fun. I just miss Charlize a little bit. You know, she was just a big part of that, especially Fury Road. And, you know, I'm going to see it. I think this, again, this is one of the Nico Caruso all-stars.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah. So I'm sure she's a big time actress.
She is. And
I'll check it out.
She was in Dune as well. Dune 2.
Who was she?
She played the sister that wasn't born yet. That comes that you see talking to him on the when they're walking and the white with the blonde hair, the white, like, you don't remember.
She wasn't born.
She was the one in. She's the baby that's in the mother's.
Oh yeah, that. Oh, please.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Whatever. But thing. No, it was not stupid. It was fantastic. Anyway. Sure. But yeah, that. Trailer, Furious trailer. When I saw the first one, I was kind of like, eh, whatever. It didn't. But this one definitely has me in. I mean,
it's just standard George Miller balls to the wall insanity, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean,
I remember I heard an interview with Tom Hardy. And this is probably like last summer or so that. And he was talking about making the movie Fury Road with George Miller. And he's like, we're just in the desert. And George is sitting there and he's just like, and then the sand's going to swing up here and Tom's driving and like, there's nothing there. Like, nobody can see anything. It's all in George's head.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and they all kind of have to imagine. He's like, and then I get there and I see the movie and I'm like, that's everything he said it was going to be. You know, like, it was like, he's just got like this eye. And George Miller's one of the most fascinating directors ever. Like, yeah, the guy goes from like Happy Feet to Mad Max, you know, like he's got a canceled Justice League movie in there, you know? So mm-hmm. he's been around the block and he's done some crazy things.
Yeah.
So, like, every one of his movies is always must see, in my opinion.
Yeah. I was not too excited for it, but this trailer definitely pulled me in. So I'm going to go see it now.
The only way I wouldn't see this is if it was like a Mad Max like story or saga story and it wasn't directed by George Miller. Then I'd be like, I don't know if you can do that.
I know. It's hard. That would be hard. This is one franchise that would definitely be hard if they did try to bring someone else in. Yeah. You know, very, like, very.
Can you have another like a Rebel Moon spinoff without Zack Snyder?
That's coming too. I didn't watch the trailer, but it's coming. The second part.
Watch the first one. I gotta watch the first one.
Oh, dude, don't. I couldn't, like I said, 45 minutes maybe I got through and really? I had to turn it off. Yeah, it wasn't good. I don't know. Again, if you guys, if whoever out there, you
Ray
like
Fisher it, in it, like, Ray, how, what is his character name? Blood Axe?
Ray Fisher? I don't think I got far enough into the movie to see him, his appearance.
I heard he's the heart of the film.
No, well, I'm sorry. I missed. I didn't get to the heart then, I guess. I got caught kind of at the, in the lungs area. I didn't quite get there yet, I guess. I don't know, but.
Emphysema?
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't. Anthony Hopkins is such. Anyway, it's a waste.
Anthony Hopkins is in that movie?
Yeah. Yeah, he plays. He is.
So. Oh man, I guess I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, not a good thing. Anyway.
Oh dear.
So we talked a little bit about, we got a little bit on the horror tip for a minute. So apparently David Chase and Terrence Winter are going to be pairing up, mm-hmm. I can speak, to create a horror movie for New Line Cinema. So this is not, when I think horror, I don't think David Chase and Terrence Winter, mm-hmm. but obviously they're most famously from The Sopranos. That's the last time they actually worked together on something. Winter went on to do Mad Men, and Chase has done, I think Chase also did 6 Feet Under. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah. So they haven't been working together in a while, but apparently they're coming back to do this. He's going to produce it under his Riverian Pictures banner alongside Nicole Lambert, who also produced the Sopranos prequel film, The Many Saints of Newark. So
I imagine you're not excited for this because you didn't like his last movie.
Which one?
Many Saints of Newark.
I didn't dislike it.
You just said you didn't like the Sopranos movie.
No, I didn't.
Didn't we do a show where you said you didn't like the Sopranos movie?
I didn't. No, it was underwhelming. Like, I wanted a little bit more. That was mm-hmm. my problem with it. I didn't dislike it. It was a fine watch. It was just a little underwhelming. It wasn't exactly what, probably part of it was my own expectations, but I just thought it left a lot to be desired at certain parts of the film. So, but no, I mean, I like both of these guys, so I'll give anything they do a shot. I just think the horror part is a weird twist for me.
Yeah, so. Like, it's weird. Every time I see David Chase, I think of Jigsaw. Like, he looks like, what's his name, who plays Jigsaw? The Tobin guy?
Tobin, yeah. Tobin.
So, like, I always get some confused. I really don't know what to think of this, because this isn't something they do. But then again, like, Todd Phillips did Joker, and he doesn't do, right. You know, yeah. Like, it's, and like we just mentioned George Miller. At one point, he, again, like I mentioned, he did Happy Feet. So, like, I never would have thought of something like that. Just got to see what it is. I have no idea. Last time we heard of Terrence Winter, he left the Penguin or the Gotham. I forget what it was. Was it Penguin?
No, I think it was the Gotham, the GCPD.
Yeah. Okay. So he's going to work on that. And then he left. And so this is, I guess, his next move.
Yeah. I have no idea what to think of this. But, you know, he's worked. Winter has worked on a ton of things. Like I said, Mad Men. He did Wolf of Wall Street. He did Boardwalk Empire. Like, he's great at what he does. So, and he co-wrote the screenplay for One Love, which, the Bob Marley movie, which, like I said,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't love it, but it was good. It was entertaining enough. So yeah, we'll see. Like when you're this good, when you're this well known and you have this much success, I'm going to give you a shot. It's just, we need to see exactly what this thing is. So sticking in horror world or the horror kind of area, we're getting that Marvel Zombies series.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of animation for Marvel's, Brad Winterbaum, says that it's going to be a TV MA show. This is what
I like
he
the
said.
Sound of that. Yeah. I mean, some people are going to die.
Yeah. He says it's a pretty intense show. That's for sure. It has to be TV MA. And again, it's trying to honor the comics. And what was so great about the comics is that it's not pulling its punches. There's certainly, mm-hmm. that's certainly what we're going for on the project also. So, I mean, we got a sneak peek of this, right? With the Undead episode on What If.
Mm-hmm.
So which
I
was
think
pretty...
that's what really kind of stemmed it. I think everyone was like, yeah, we should do this.
Yeah.
I'm all for this. I think this is going to be interesting because it's going to be completely separate from the MCU, right? It's going to be its own thing. And that's really interesting. Like it's going to, that's kind of why I liked the early seasons of What If. It just felt like fresh storytelling,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas last season kind of felt like way too connected to everything else. So I'm excited to see what they can come up with when they kind of have a clean slate and they can kind of just start from scratch. I think it's important. The MCU is in a very interesting phase right now.
It
They're
is
trying to figure something out on the fly. And I don't think they really have a game plan or know what they're doing, to be honest with you. I think they're just kind of winging it at this moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like we said, this is part of that spotlight segment of the MCU that they're unleashing now that Echo was a part of, and now they're gonna have this, and so yeah, I mean, they're kind of, they really haven't had much of a through line up until recently when they announced what they were gonna do with the next two Avengers movies. They were kind of just making movies and putting them out there, and it's weird, like I said, some people enjoy that, so the fact that those movies didn't do as well, it was really a weird feeling.
Even something like the X-Men 97, which mm-hmm. I haven't watched yet, but it's so disconnected from the MCU, which is something that they have never really done before. Like, it's just, you know, it's literally like the MCU has really all been about one through line, one storyline, everything's connected. And now it seems like post What If, they're really like, well, I guess Multiverse of Madness, maybe they're taking a lot of steps in different directions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Deadpool 3 is going to pull some of the stuff together because we know the TVA is a part of it. So it's going to pull some things back in. But you're right. Like, I watched the first two episodes of X-Men 97 yesterday. Really rainy day here. It was not much to do. So I said, let me put this on, because everyone was talking about it, saying it was really good. It is very good. And it's very much like the original show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they kept a lot of that, the same vibe that show had. But yeah, I mean, it's the writing for an animated show like this, a cartoon, it's very, very good. So yeah, I mean, if you haven't, I know you say I haven't watched it yet, you should just, it's an easy watch. They're only 30 minutes, 33 minutes each. So it's an easy watch to do. So if you get a chance to watch it, definitely do. But yeah, I mean, Mark, you're right. The MCU is kind of in a weird place, and doing something like this, in my opinion, is just going to enable them to broaden it. Their range.
I think it's time. I just do. I think the old way of MCU storytelling is come and gone, to be honest with you. I feel like you have to change a little bit, because I think people have just seen too much of the same thing. And I'm not saying like generic superhero fatigue. I think people just kind of want a different kind of superhero movie. I just think they do. I think the content will always catch the eye. It's just how you present it. And that's why I think the Batman saga is doing well and will do well, because it is superhero content that people love. It is a character that people love, but it's different. It's just him. It's just his little world, you know, it's focused.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, but what after post Endgame and what they tried to do, just like I said, they put out like Black Widow, and then they put Shang-Chi, and then they had Doctor Strange. like they were, Doctor Strange obviously was the connected one, but then they had the shows with WandaVision
and all. Most of their connected stuff was the show, was the spin-off tie-in shows that was the Disney Plus stuff.
Yeah. So that's where that came from this time. And I do think part of it, that was part of the failure, because I'm not sure we watched a lot of that stuff and people who like, you know, the characters watch, but I don't think everyone else did. And that probably is why when people heard about these things, like, I don't know, like Wanda's bad now and like all this other stuff that happened, I just don't think people were ready for it. So it does restrict, you're right, it does kind of restrict where you can go if everyone's not along for the ride. So yeah, but this is being completely separate. It gives them another lane to go in. It gives them people who like that kind of a thing, something to watch and keep people within the brand. So yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. Also from Marvel, they're going to be producing a period piece video game, Captain America and Black Panther video game, Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, is set for a 2025 release. We saw a little, there were some clips from this and stills and photos. I think there might even have been a video, which I didn't see, but I think I heard that going. Yeah, there's a trailer for it, right? So, yeah. What do you think about this, Pete? This is an interesting.
I'm not sure, because most of the Marvel games usually get trashed outside of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? Like the last Avengers game did not get a lot of people talking. A lot of people just ripped the hell out of it.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
I didn't even play it. We'll see. I mean, I'll probably give this one a shot because I just bought a new Xbox. So now I won't be consoled out. I won't be phased out. Yeah, we'll see. I'm down for like a new Marvel game because I can't play Spider-Man. I'm going to buy an old Spider-Man game. It's just to kind of like scratch that itch. But it'd be cool to play as Captain America. Like, I can't remember the last time I did that in a video game.
Yeah, and I mean, that period, that time period, the World War II.
Tanks, you know, stuff like that. That'd be fun to, like, run around bust tanks with a shield.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It kind of brings you back to the first Avenger film, right? When they when Hydra was obviously introduced to the MCU. Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. So, I agree. This would be a game that I actually would want to buy if I had a next-gen system, which I still don't. I still need to get one. But, yeah, this would definitely be one of the ones I'd want to play. So apparently you can play one of four characters, Azuri, T'Challa's grandfather, and the World War II era Black Panther. Steve Rogers, obviously we know who he is. Nanali, a Wakandan spy embedded in occupied Paris, or Gabriel Jones, a U.S. soldier and member of the Howling Commandos. So we'll see. It's slated for a 2025 release. There is a trailer that goes along with it. The graphics and stuff look fantastic on it. So
I'm sure they do. I don't know. Like, I feel that Avengers game got destroyed, man.
This is the last superhero game that I bought. I actually own it.
But Haas did tell me that the Moon Knight Suns game was a lot of fun, and it's really cheap right now. So if you want to get that on Amazon or download it from your local marketplace, do that. But
yeah, it's the Avengers game. I remember being very glitchy at first and had some issues. The gameplay is a little bit difficult for certain characters. It wasn't great. It did. Ms. Marvel featured prominently in it. She's the main character in it. I think that was a problem at first for some people. This was obviously pre the show. So yeah, but it wasn't great. Wasn't a great game. So
here you go. Local game reviews by Eric Holzman.
Yeah, and I don't buy that many anymore. So we also got some details about Joker 2. You mentioned Joker 2 before. So this is what little bit of the information. Insiders privy to the filming and early versions of Todd Phillips eagerly await a sequel to Joker. This was in Variety. The movie leans heavily towards being mostly a jukebox musical as it integrates at least 15 reinterpretations of very well-known songs. One is said to be That's Entertainment from the 1953 musical The Bandwagon, famously associated with Julie Garland. Yeah, I mean, I'm in. Like, this song sounds like Moulin Rouge and...
That's what they mentioned in the article.
Yeah, so... I was in to begin with. It's going to be interesting to see what songs they pick. Having Lady Gaga in there, it's going to be interesting if they pick one of her songs that she has to perform.
There's also the possibility for original songs. So I imagine Gaga is going to write something at some point, right?
Sure. Yeah, I would imagine that as well. You know, the budget for this is $200 million. That kind of explains it. If you're using popular songs, you got to get the rights to use them. And
we all wondered why the budget skyrocketed. We're like, man, that, remember the first one's like, what, $65, $70
million? Yeah. So what do you think, though? Is this something?
It's interesting. Like, I never thought Todd Phillips was this creative, to be honest with you. Like, I'm really surprised and I'm really kind of impressed. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge musical fan. I'll see this obviously because of the Joker tie-ins. I'm just curious. Like, I want to see how it's executed. I want to see how the actors act in their roles. The story that Phillips has created. I want to see where he picks up off the last one. Like, just, you know, I want to see if it's any more or less depressing than the first movie too. Does the music make the movie less depressing? Like, I have lots of questions about this and all. Like, I got to wait to see it. But man, I mean, I'm very interested. I'm very interested because I've only watched like the first Joker movie like once or twice. It's heavy, man.
Yeah, I think I've watched it 3 times.
It's heavy.
And after the third time, I was like, yeah, I don't need to watch this for a while. It's not a movie that makes you feel good about yourself and life and all that. It's very good, very obviously deep, very graphic film. But yeah, this one seems to be they're trying to go a little bit of a lighter tone, especially music usually does that. Even in something like Sweeney Todd, where you had the music woven into it. Obviously, it's a musical, but even something like that, it's the music does kind of take it down, take it from not being as serious to being more of a fun-loving type thing. I don't think Joker 2 is going to be that, but it is definitely intriguing now having popular music interwoven into the story. And, you know, they said That's Entertainment's one of the songs. That's an old song. Are they going to pull any new contemporary? Yeah. You know, I don't know. So it's interesting to hear, though.
What song from the Grease soundtrack do you bring into Joker 2?
Didn't Steve Helms say I think he did mention Summer Nights from Grease.
Is that what it was?
I honestly
only know like a couple musicals. Grease, Sweeney Todd, Moulin Rouge, even though I've never seen it, I know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Showgirls. Dream Girls.
Yeah.
Showgirls is a different experience.
That's not a musical.
That's not a musical. It's music to my ears. So those are really the only, I get, and Mary Poppins, right? Mary Poppins is a musical.
It is. I don't know if it was marketed as that when it came out, but it is. But
that's really it. Those are the only musicals I know of.
Yeah. I mean, Les Mis, obviously that's another musical. That was a movie. Phantom of the Opera was a musical that was made.
Okay, I've seen
movie.
Phantom of the Opera. Okay, I always thought more of that was a play. Okay, never mind. I don't know. All right, I get what you're saying though. I have seen Phantom of the Opera. I saw the Schumacher one too.
Yeah. So those are those types of movies are based off of written musicals that were on stage. This is not. This is obviously something that's fresh. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. This is a movie musical.
Oh, Greatest Showman with Jackman. That movie's fantastic.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. Very good. So like these things are all, this is a fresh movie and a fresh musical, and having it surround the Joker is going to be very,
like, how many people is he going to kill while singing?
I know. These are all things I've been thinking as well. Like, you know, who's he going to be torturing and singing some kind of torture song? And all these things have got into my head about this.
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty.
Which Arkham game? There's one of the Arkham games where the Joker's singing in it. I can't remember which one, but one of the games when Batman, I think it's the one, it might be Arkham Knight, where he's hallucinating and the Joker's doing all this stuff. And
this is
a
Hoss question.
Singing. I don't know. But yeah, that's what I heard. What I originally heard about this concept, I'm like, well, maybe that's the inspiration for it. I don't know. I'm just wondering where this idea came from.
I think after the movie, you should sing for us your favorite track from the film.
I don't think that's going to happen. But
We'll see. After a couple of martinis, Holzman's going to start singing.
We'll see. Maybe. That's possible. So, all right, moving right along. Sydney Sweeney has been in the news a lot lately. Obviously, she was in Madam Web. She has the new movie out, Immaculate, which I definitely want to go see. It's kind of like a horror film. She's a nun. Looks very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, but she recently spoke about, obviously, the Madam Web failure, and she brought it up. This is what she says about her opportunity. She spoke to GQ UK, and this is what she said about what Madam Web did for her. "To me, that film was a building block. It's what allowed me to build a relationship with Sony. Without doing Madam Web, I wouldn't have a relationship with the decision makers over there. Everything in my career I do not just for that story, but strategic business decisions. Because I did that, I was able to sell Anyone But You. I was able to get Barbarella."
I love how refreshingly honest she is, because that's the game. She's not lying.
No.
She's telling you the truth. And you know what? They all do the same thing. And Sydney Sweeney just moved up in my book. She just did. Like, she's just brutally honest, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, she went on to say that stuff about Madam Web, like, the movie is such a large movie with so many people. And she was just part of the cog, like a cog in the wheel, like we heard her say before. She can't control any of the outcomes. She's not a producer. She just signs up and you do your job, basically, as an actress. It's so refreshing to hear her speak, and she's young, and the fact that she understands this at such a young age.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I was like, wow, you're a smart businesswoman. You're not a dumb bimbo. Like, yeah, like, that's great. It just is.
It is.
Like, she's beautiful and she's intelligent. Like, you know, she's the next Margot Robbie. That's what it seems like to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it seems like that's her goal, right?
Yeah.
That's what she wants to do. She doesn't want to just be an actor. She wants to be a producer and a director, make films. She's definitely somebody who understands the game and is playing it. And
because I'm not going to lie, like, coming off Madam Web, I'm like, oh, she's hot. They got a hot, popular girl to be in this movie. That's what they want. But I'm like, oh wow, this chick knows what she's talking about. She knows she's motivated. She's ready to get going, ready to take over. Like, I'm kind of impressed, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I saw her in Euphoria and in White Lotus. Those are the first things I saw her in.
I should watch White Lotus because of Imperioli.
Yeah. He's in season two. I saw season one. She was in season one.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, they're different.
Okay,
but I—that's when
I still
first
stand by that. I should watch.
Got wind of her, and she was really good in the season one. So I'm very, very much into her as an actress, and it's going to be interesting to see her career unfold, because it's
yeah.
I feel like she's
got,
one of the.
She's got a big, bright future ahead of her. You can tell.
She does. So it's going to be interesting to see. But that was such a, like you said, such a refreshing story to read. An actor or actress just being like, "Yep. I didn't only do this for that. I did it for everything it's going to bring me in my future." So very, very cool. And good luck to her, man. Good luck to her in her future career. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be interesting to see how her career unfolds. So, all right. So I don't think you've seen the new Ghostbusters yet, right?
No.
All right. I did go and check it out. I did a little, a car review as well.
I didn't watch it because I didn't see the movie. Don't get offended, but I didn't watch it yet.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you, Pete. I'm just going to do a quick little take like I did in the car. I didn't necessarily like it. It didn't land with me. It's a very cheesy, campy type of film, in my opinion. There's a lot going on in it. I don't think it comes together well. The villain's pretty weak, to be honest with you. There's a bunch of little different stories going on at different times, and it just becomes all too convenient at one point that everything just comes together at the right time. And it's weird I'm talking about this movie because I just finally saw yesterday during the day I was doing laundry, so I watched Jurassic World Dominion. It was on TV. I'd never seen it. And that one was it's kind of the same vibe I got from that movie. A lot of stuff going on. They tried to pay off the nostalgic pieces, bringing back the older characters into the film. In Ghostbusters, they really don't have much of a role besides Ray and Winston. That's all I'm going to say. But it's another one of those movies that you're kind of like, didn't need to be made. Afterlife was so good compared to this. I didn't love that one either, but I liked it a lot more than I liked this. So guys, let us know when you finally go see it. And Pete, we'll talk about it officially when you do see it. But guys, let us know what you thought of Ghostbusters at Frozen Empire, because it's something that I feel is going to be discussed a lot going forward.
All right, there you go. The official Holes word.
Yes. So, well, I think we're at the end of this one.
By Holzman's hammer have cometh and gone.
Yeah, we're out of stories. We don't have anything else to talk about. Well, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But not for this show.
Not for this show. No. So there's plenty of. Eric and I have decided to do a joint venture. I have now joined Eric in selling feet pictures on OnlyFans. So all the ladies, if you have a lady out there with a foot fetish, Eric and I are now selling our feet pics on OnlyFans because times are getting hard. So,
well, what's your page?
I'm just going to send you the pictures and you post them on your page.
No, that doesn't work that way. You have to have your own page with your own pictures.
See, he's an expert. He really does this.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
That's right. Who said that? Uxus?
No. Want to try again?
Uxus.
Yeah.
Yes. Ready the hashtags. We'll do this the old ways.
All right. Well,
I'm ready to go.
Tell them where they could find you and all that fun stuff.
Socially, you could find me at Pete Illustrated. For this show, Straight Outta Gotham, _O_G, Instagram and Twitter, Facebook group, fan page, check that stuff out. Monthly on the Batman Book Club, all the time on Batman on Film, and check out Spidey Coalition.
Yeah. I know you recently did, I think it was a social hour, right, with Bill?
Yeah, everything blends together. I can't remember what I did last week, but I'm there. Check it out. Check out the feed.
All right, guys, and you can find me on Twitter at Finally33, spell Finale33. I tell you every week about my show about the New York Knicks every Wednesday night. It's a show called All Nicked Up. It's a live stream that I do Facebook Live, YouTube, and on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We talk about the New York Knicks every week, 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's been a good season to talk about the Knicks. So it's been a surprising year for me. But we get into everything. We talk about the recent rash of injuries, everything going on with the team. So check that out as well. Pete mentioned our Facebook group, our Facebook fan page. The Facebook page is where we post the show. So if you can't get it, if you can't find it anywhere else, you can always go there and pick it out and listen to it from Facebook. I think that's it. So I have nothing else to talk about. Kind of sad.
Skadoosh.
Yeah. So for Pete, I'm Eric. You're listening to Straight Outta Gotham, and we'll see you next time.
Booyah.